League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Remember those endless summer days that felt like they just last forever? Sun rays kiss your skin, grass tickles your toes as you bite into the creamy popsicle melting in your hand. Pure, unbothered bliss. Capture more sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. This nostalgic vanilla flavor with notes of candied orange can help keep you hydrated while savoring your favorite golden hour moments. No matter how hot your summer gets, just one stick of Liquid IV and 16 ounces of water hydrates you better than water alone. It's three times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, with 8 vitamins and nutrients for refreshing on-the-go hydration. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tare, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout. That's code INDULGE20 at liquidiv.com.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Good morning, Roto Experts.
To the end zone! It's caught! Touchdown! Oh my goodness!
The mark of fantasy excellence.
You have to be careful about who you think is stepping forward on the depth chart.
It's caught for a touchdown!
We're here to help you win your leagues and win that cash. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts in the Morning.
This is your time. Now go out there and take it.
Fantasy players, it is a beautiful day in the neighborhood, Tuesday, December 4th. Let's cock-a-doodle do it. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning, right here on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I am your host, Dane Martinez. They call me Speeds, the Spitting Statistician. And as always, but for the first time since last Wednesday, I am joined, and I am overjoyed to be joined by my man, FSWA Hall of Famer, El Rey de Fantasia, the King, Scott Angle. Scotty, this is like the first time in a long time it's been this long since I've spoken to you. How are you doing, King?
I'm doing great, my friend. It's good to be back from Seattle and talking with you. Had a wonderful time at Seahawks 49ers cover of the game for the press box. Went on a stadium tour, got a tour of the team headquarters. Just an amazing, amazing time. You know, great to spend time with some good friends, including Brandon Funston, and a special shout out to a regular listener of our show, the network, DJ Osborne, who I had breakfast with over the weekend and had some great time spending with him. And fantasy football wise, successful. The regular season's over. I made the playoffs in 7 of 10 leagues. I'm in first place overall in 3 of them, first round buys in 4 of them. And I have a 5-10 win team, five-ten win teams and an 11 win team. So, the listeners want to hear that you're successful if they follow you. So I'm just confirming that as much. That's 50% bragging and 50% it's fine to follow me.
Absolutely. I like that. You know, we are in, I believe, 2 leagues together, Scotty. And in both of those leagues, you can attest the Spittin' Statisticians and FST. We are playoff bound in both of those leagues as well. So when we're together, Scotty, I'm 2-for-2 in the playoffs. One of those teams does have a first-round bye as well. And I just finished off a 12-1 regular season, Scotty, in my longtime home dynasty league. I got to tell you, I like really, though, avoided the kind of hardcore injury bug. My big running backs all season in that team have been James Conner, Sony Michel, and Kerryon Johnson. So I've been able to use all three of them. They've all gotten banged up at different points of time. But, you know, they're still getting me through. We'll see what happens. However, I say that because Ian Rappaport has said that the James Conner injury, quote unquote, is not serious at all. By the way, so if I have a bye and I don't got to play this week, Scott, do you think I'm okay to ride out with Conner? He'll be okay by the time week 14 rolls around?
Well, you know, I can't answer a question that we haven't been provided an answer to other than what they've said, you know, right, that it's not serious. So you don't over-worry, but, you know, we can never tell how somebody's body's going to heal. And, you know, this goes back to what we were talking about. You know, I was away for the whole Kareem Hunt thing, and then saw James Conner get injured, and everybody thought it was look bad. I was watching at a bar in Seattle on a Sunday night, a sports bar. And they absolutely hate the Steelers in Seattle, and just like everything bad that happened to them, you know, they were cheering. It's but when Conner got off, you know, I don't believe in liking seeing anybody get injured, but it's my long winded way of saying that we told you before the postseason started to have the top NFL backups of your starting running backs. And whether it's injury or something else that we couldn't see happening with Kareem Hunt, if you didn't have Spencer Ware and you don't have Jalen Samuels and you're going to have to race to the waiver wire, it's your own fault that you didn't do it. We warned you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, obviously, you know, the Kareem Hunt issue broke after you were gone, Scotty. And to be quite honest, after a lot of our leagues that were like, you can only make waiver claims one final time, it was literally like the day after for some formats. But listen, the Kareem Hunt thing went down. You're absolutely right. James Conner gets banged up, although maybe he avoided serious injury. Jalen Samuels goes in here. Listen, Rex Burkhead had 9 touches for 41 yards, and we were talking about maybe a new handcuff arriving on the scene. Josh Jackson did work on Sunday night. Remember, Melvin Gordon is still out. If you watch the Giants
Justin Jackson.
He outplayed Austin Eckler. Absolutely.
Yeah.
If you watch the Giants game carefully, you saw that Saquon Barkley went down, putting a lump in players' throats for a minute there as well. So the moral of the story is, like we've been telling you, you need those handcuffs at this part of the season. In this situation, you know, you kind of would rather Spencer Ware and Justin Jackson than, say, Isaiah Crowell, which is kind of the name that Scotty has always said in kind of this, you know,
bad this week,
creating this construct. But yes, he did not do that bad this week. Scotty, yesterday I was here
and the
with,
thing with
Jordan
Barkley
Kurtz.
Real quick, Dane, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
The thing with Barkley is, like, even if you see him go down, even if you have Wayne Gallman, you're like, please don't go down. I don't want to have to
do
Wayne Gallman.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Listen, I was saying this with all of my guys. I mean, I told you going into it, you know, I told you I finished the regular season 12-1, so I was 11-1 going into this week. Stephon Diggs' knee swolled up over and was a game-time decision. I didn't get cute. I didn't need the win. I took him out of my lineup. I'm just hoping that he's okay moving forward. The other thing I was going to say, Scott, is, you know, on Monday I'm here with George Kurtz, and big shout-out to George Kurtz, who held us down on the Thursday, Friday, and yesterday's show. Great time working with Long Island Strong. But what we were talking about, Scott, was that not only did you get to see do some bucket list things, but you get to see the Seahawks win a 43-16 game against the San Francisco 49ers. And I got to tell you, Scott, you know, in the NFC for week 13, I don't know any team that had a better week than the Seattle Seahawks. I mean, yes, the Rams clinched the division, so you got to say that, right? But I mean,
in the rest of the playoff picture, it looked like nobody wanted to win. Nobody from the NFC North won. The Bears got upset in overtime here. You know, the Vikings couldn't grab their opportunity. The Packers defecate the mattress to the point where they fire their head coach, and we'll get into that in a little bit as well. I would love to hear your thoughts on that one, Scotty. But, you know, the Seattle Seahawks, with their win, really grabbed an important playoff position, and I would say the only team, you know, obviously Dallas played on Thursday, right? So out of everybody who played Sunday, I really think Seattle did well. And then last night, Scotty, the Philadelphia Eagles also kind of hold serve, and don't look now, but they are still right there, only a half game, I believe, behind the Minnesota Vikings for that last playoff spot. They get a 28-13 victory, and I guess the big part of this one to me is that, you know, the Washington football team is 6-6, but they're pretty much done because they're not down to Mark Sanchez.
Oh, yeah. And I know you as a Jet fan know a lot about that. Yeah,
I do.
The Seahawks with a very decisive win on Sunday, you know, in all functions of the game. It was amazing, the efficiency of Russell Wilson on Sunday. His first, he was 3-for-3 with the first passes with 101 yards and two touchdowns. It's amazing. There's a stat out there that he's on pace to throw 39 touchdown passes with the least attempts in NFL history. Just, you know, just showing the incredible efficiency. And from a fantasy perspective, you're not getting a lot of yardage, but you are getting the touchdowns. And especially in a 6-point passing touchdown league, you know, you can certainly work with that. You know, and that's what a winning team does. They destroy an opponent like that the way they're supposed to. And, you know, the defense was a fine start. And a lot of people were saying this was a 3-4 win team. And I was saying it, you know, not out of allegiance or anything, but I said this team could make the playoffs. You know, meanwhile, you know, Carolina has absolutely crumbled. And, you know, Cam Newton hurt a lot of fantasy owners this past week.
Yeah, and I mean, we talked about it again yesterday with George Kurtz, and I think you must have seen, Scott, they went to Tyler Heinicke to throw that Hail Mary pass, and it was not a deep Hail Mary. It was around midfield, and so the similar concerns we had about Andrew Luck in what, weeks 1 and 2 when that happened. I'm intrigued to see if Cam is going to be able to make it all the way the rest of the season. I would say, Scotty, and then we'll turn again to this Monday Night Football game. That was just my transition to get talking about Monday Night Football, but we will allow you, obviously, to give your analysis of the Seattle Seahawks. I would imagine at this point in time, Seattle is sitting pretty as the 5 seed. To me, you know, the teams you got to contend with are Minnesota and these Philadelphia Eagles, who got the 28-13 win in last night's game. I know it sets up a huge Monday night game for week 14, but we got plenty of time to talk about that. So let's look back here on the Washington football team. Do you agree they are in essence done now that Mark Sanchez is their quarterback? I mean, they got Chris Thompson back, although he only goes 3-for-18. They got Jamison Crowder back, although he only goes 4-for-36. Adrian Peterson showing Old Faithful, the fountain of youth, with a 90-yard touchdown run, literally on the first play of Mark Sanchez. You got to figure they were going to hand the ball off to Adrian Peterson. They do so. He rumbles for 90 anyway, but I'm intrigued that outside of that carry, he goes 8 for 8 yards. You know what I mean? So they're still not a dynamic offense. I know they're 6-6, but do you agree they're done?
It certainly looks that way, you know, with all the injuries they have, and especially at quarterback now. You know, defenses can just try to load their fronts against Peterson, although for one play last night, it certainly didn't work last night on the defensive breakdown by the Eagles. As, you know, Peterson shows that he still has something there, but, you know, not that you take that away from him, but he didn't do anything the rest of the night. But unless Mark Sanchez can really turn back the clock about 8 years, I can't see how this team's going to make the playoffs.
Yeah, me neither. So let's talk about the team that is still in contention. In my opinion, like I said, these wild cards are going to be either the Seahawks, the Eagles, or the Minnesota Vikings. So let's talk about the Eagles here. Your boy Josh Adams, 20 carries for 85 yards, showing that he can, you know, kind of carry the load in the early down between the tackles run game. But I got to ask you, Scott, I kept on mentioning this guy, and you were like, is he even ever going to play again? Darren Sproles returned to action for the Philadelphia Eagles, 4-for-22 and a touchdown in the run game. Surprisingly, did not do anything in the pass game. But is Sproles now a part of the committee as well? Like, would you give him a look on waiver wire?
I think he has to be. I mean, obviously, it's Josh Adams being the lead guy, but Corey Clement got some work last night. Sproles had his 14-yard run, but he wasn't involved in the passing game at all. Josh Adams, not involved in the passing game either. Got stuffed at the goal line twice last night. It was very frustrating. You know, Adams is a decent RB2, low-end RB2 /flex. He's going to continue to get a lot of volume and some really nice outside runs on the perimeter of the corner last night.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, Philadelphia
also. Not great numbers,
also,
though, overall.
But you know what is great? Maybe not even necessarily for fantasy owners, but for the Philadelphia Eagles themselves, the fact that they were able to involve Golden Tate last night, okay? 7 catches for 85 yards. He gets the touchdown as well. And it just looks like he's got a better feel for the offense, like he's going to be a bigger part of this offense. And if they have, you know, a viable running back committee, and now you throw Tate into the mix, of course, with Zach Ertz, Alshon Jeffrey, Nelson Aguilar and the crew, I mean, they've got weapons now back there in Philly.
Yeah, they do, and you know, it took 3 weeks for him to get into the flow. But you saw the real Golden Tate last night, except for the fact that he got in the end zone, because that's something that he doesn't do a lot, you know, in Detroit. But you know, maybe it'll change in Philly. I'm not sure, but I wouldn't be optimistic about that. But as a PPR guy, it's, you know, you like to see, you can at least push him back into wide receiver 3 territory after last night. And a third quarter, you know, I think we really got a picture of who Golden Tate really is. You know, when he really broke a tackle very nicely, yeah, and gained a lot of yardage after the catch, was carrying defenders, you know, down about the 4-yard line. You know, that's why the Eagles acquired Golden Tate, and mm-hmm, that's why you like him as a fantasy player usually.
Very tough after the catch. Even has the potential to return kicks as well if the team so needs it. Yeah, I want to ask you
some fantasy leagues count that, so that's very important. It's a good point.
Absolutely. And, you know, one point that Jason Witten was making on the telecast, it's like there was a big old love affair with him and Zach Ertz the entire Monday Night Football. But I got to tell you something. It's well deserved. You know, Zach Ertz, 9 catches, 83 yards. I think he's up over 90 now for the season. Jason Witten has the tight end record, they were saying, with 110 in a season. And barring injury, you got to think that in the next, 4 games that Zach Ertz still has and the Eagles will be live and competing for things, you got to figure Zach Ertz is a good bet to break that record. One thing I want to ask you about this, Scott. Me and George were talking about, because you know, we were talking about like Rob Gronkowski going into last week and how much you trust Rob Gronkowski. And you know, and it's not like he did a lot. You know, Gronk is quote unquote back, as it were, but all Gronk got on Sunday, I'm double checking it right now, but yeah, you know, he gets 3 for 26 and that's about it, right? So the question is he done? We've had that kind of question before, but I want to spin it differently now to a guy like Zach Ertz. Scott, Rob Gronkowski was getting drafted in the 2nd and 3rd round because it was like he stood kind of like in his own tier in the tight end kind of ranks. Next year, Scott, in fantasy football drafts, I mean, I don't see anybody that's taking Gronk in rounds 2 or 3 or even 4 because I think he's done. Quite frankly, I'd rather have even George Kittle than Rob Gronkowski. My question is, as it relates to Ertz and as it relates to Kelce, I mean, we're in such a passing league right now, and those two tight ends, I think you can count on to once again have huge years. A, are you taking Ertz and Kelce above Gronk next year, Scott? And if so, where do you think these guys are going to get drafted? Do you think Ertz and Kelce are going to go 3rd round or maybe even higher next year?
Well, I think it's obvious that they'll go ahead of Gronk, and Eric Ebron probably will too, you know, after the way that he's played this year, and so will Kittle. So I think, you know, usually I don't take tight ends early. And, you know, because you weaken some of your other positions. But when a guy like Kelce it's almost like catcher in fantasy baseball, too, for those of you who play dual sports. Mm-hmm. Those guys are so far ahead of the competition that it pushes them up the board that, you know, you feel like you have an advantage over the rest of your league if you have a Kelce or an Ertz.
Right.
So I could see Kelce going, like, it wouldn't shock me if he goes like end of the 1st round in some leagues, and like Ertz would go in the 2nd. I could see Kittle going in like late 2nd, you know, something like that. I could see Ebron going
advantage
in the 3rd.
They create, yeah, the week to week
because
advantage for you.
It's such a huge drop off, I think, perceived after those 4 or so. So yeah, I will be I'll be okay with taking a tight end early. I will take Kelce. It's yep. In the past, I haven't taken Rob Gronkowski very often in leagues mm-hmm. because of the injury factor.
Yep.
You know, we will always worry about that. You don't right. have that.
You don't have that with Kelce and Ertz.
Now the thing
Maybe
you can't do
a little
though
bit,
is
but...
yeah, you can't take a tight end and a quarterback in the first round
right.
though, because that really
well, we tell people to wait on quarterback
position.
Anyway. You know, we tell
no,
people to wait on quarterback.
You totally
got to
wait on if you take a tight end early.
But the tight end, I agree with you. It's going to be very interesting in this passing 2018-19 NFL that we're in. I think some of these tight ends are going to go early. Like, you went wide out a lot. I think people are going to put tight end in as well. Coming right back. We'll talk about it some more.
The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only place to go for 24/7 fantasy sports advice. Once you download the FNTSY Sports Radio app, you'll get the most accurate experts and most entertaining programming in the fantasy sports world. Listen to great shows like Fantasy Football Frenzy.
There you go right there, Goon Squad.
Game Time Decisions.
Good teams win, great teams cover.
Fantasy Freestyle.
You know what it is.
And plenty more.
Boom!
Download the FNTSY Sports Radio app on your iPhone and Android devices now and take the best fantasy sports talk wherever life leads you.
Welcome back. Roto Experts in the Morning right here on the Fantasy Woo. Sports Radio Network. Scotty is celebrating because he saw his Seahawks get a big W, and he's also doing well in his fantasy regular season. He's a spin statistician.
And,
didn't do that bad either. We got some playoff matchups.
I went to a 70s disco night on Saturday and danced to this.
All right, big things. You know, waxing poetic and nostalgic already about Scotty's big old trip to the Pacific Northwest. But back here in the big bad city, we got to get people ready for what is either their last regular season week or their first playoff week. Remember, I am in some leagues where they go until week 14. I don't love them, but there are still some people that are in win and get in scenarios. We talked a little bit about...
Sorry, Dade. Real quick, though.
Okay.
We spoke about it... I think before we left, though, it's like
what's up?
I made the playoffs in one of the ESPN default scoring settings leagues where it goes to week 17 and only the four teams make the playoffs. And I really hate that because there was only four teams make the playoffs and you go into week 17. Then there was a 9-4 team that didn't make it.
Oh, really? Because of like points and stuff?
No, just because there's only four playoff berths.
Oh, yeah, that happens. That happens. Yeah. That is rough, you know, especially it depends. You know, every league is different. Scoring situations, is it points or is it record?
Like
is it four? Is it six? The week. So the first rule of fantasy is absolutely to know your settings. Scotty, I want to bounce some news and notes that we saw yesterday off of people. We already talked yesterday about a lot of the injuries that took place. But, Scotty, I mean, you know, I don't know how many times we needed to tell people, but we were ahead of this with the AJ Green thing. We said, I thought they were going to shut him down. Remember, we said it was weird that they were going to bring him back now, especially with no starting quarterback. They got dump trucked by the Denver Broncos, who don't look now, are in contention in the AFC wild card. But AJ Green is having season ending surgery, ending his season, that toe issue. How do you think this plays out then for kind of the last men standing there in Cincinnati, Joe Mixon and Tyler Boyd?
I Cincinnati's depleted right now, you know. No Dalton, no AJ Green, and you know I think we've already seen it earlier this season that, you know, opportunity. I always say it. Opportunity doesn't always lead to production. It's not going to in Cincinnati. That means that Tyler Boyd has to be the number one receiver. I think that pushes him back to wide receiver three territory because I think he's overmatched. I don't think John Ross is ready to start in the NFL. And I think it hurts Joe Mixon, too, because he's going to get a lot of defensive attention. But also, you know, maybe they use Giovanni Bernard a little bit more in the passing game, but it's not like you want to start him in the fantasy playoffs. You know, you got to start streaming defenses against the Bengals.
Yep, absolutely. I think that's a good answer. I mean, there's a few teams like this, right, that are starting to acknowledge where they are going to start making business decisions, are going to start cutting their losses with their players, and are going to start maybe even seeing kids under center. I'm specifically thinking about a team here in New York that may make that decision in the next couple of weeks. I want to get your thoughts on that a little bit later on. One of the wide receivers that we thought had a kind of promising start to their career, Scott, was kind of on our waiver wire throughout the season. We certainly love in dynasty leagues. His season is over. Christian Kirk of the Arizona Cardinals sent to IR with that foot issue. Listen, we like Kirk in dynasty, Scott. Talk to me about any impact here for the Arizona Cardinals. In recent weeks, you know, Leftwich has been going more to David Johnson, getting 20-plus touches again, more to Larry Fitzgerald. Kirk was kind of another option there. Does that mean more targets for Larry Fitzgerald? Does that mean Ricky Seals-Jones pops on the streaming tight end radar? What's the impact in Arizona with Christian Kirk now going to IR?
Nothing that you want to, you know, play with in your fantasy playoffs, really. Like, Fitzgerald is what he is. He gets more defensive tension now. You hope he gets in the end zone. He's touchdown or bust. And there's no way you're using Ricky Seals-Jones in the fantasy playoffs. If a guy's got a track being by 13-week track record of being a failure, why is he gonna, why are you going to take a chance that he's going to turn it around now? You know, just try to get the 6 to 10 points that you can from Chris Herndon instead of taking Ricky Seals-Jones. We're at a point now where you can't be taking flyers on guys, so yep. I think it's irrelevant.
All right, I hear you. Is there any opportunities created in San Francisco, Scott, now that Matt Breida has already been ruled out for Week 14?
I think Josh Wilson, you know, who I got the chance to see live on Sunday, right, talked to some of the San Francisco people about, you know, he's worthy of a pickup, I think, you know, in case you're desperate for some running back help or you just want some depth. I think you do have to take a flyer on him because you never know who gets injured or whatever.
Right.
And if the backup stud doesn't step up, you know, Wilson was actually impressive. And the Seahawks were actually prepared for him because, you know, at the press conference on Friday, you know, I was at Pete Carroll's press conference. He was talking about, you know, their running backs and how he's expecting to see at least two of them, and he wasn't talking about Alfred Morrison. You know, Josh Wilson had some really nice catch and run on screen passes.
Okay, so listen, that theory, this idea, you know, it's still time to handcuff your studs. If you haven't had that, if you haven't done it yet, or if new handcuffs become available because of injuries, please do not forget about them. One handcuff, though, that it doesn't look like is going to materialize this season, Scotty. You know, I've been big about Dante Foreman, the running back down in Houston. Remember, they activated him off the PUP list a few weeks ago. They have until tomorrow, Scott, to kind of like put him on the active roster and declare if he's actually going to be a part of this team. And Bill O'Brien and the team is still saying they are not sure yet about Dante Foreman. It looks like Alfred Blue will continue to be the Lamar Miller handcuff. And Scotty, Lamar Miller has not sucked recently.
No, he certainly hasn't. You know, it's you know, we've seen some hosts on this channel really put him down, but like, you know, he's running very explosively, very decisive at the second level right now. And you know, this is the first NFL team to start 0-3 and like,
really?
And like win 9 in a row. So,
and by the way, Scott, if you look at their schedule, they do not have another team over 500 on their schedule the rest of the way. Their last four, they have Indy, which is kind of tough, but they're not over 500. They have the Jets. They have the Jacksonville Jaguars, who are kind of on a downturn, and they have those Philadelphia Eagles. So, I mean, I can say conservatively, I think that's 2-2, probably 3-1 in my personal opinion. That gets potentially the Texans to 12-4 after starting 0-3. They're in the race for a first-round bye still.
Yeah, and you know, that's something that's real important there. You know, it's going to be a fun playoff race.
Absolutely. So interesting to note, though, however, Dante Foreman will not be a part of that playoff race. Some coaching changes also in Carolina, Scotty. Ron Rivera is going to call defensive plays. He fired some of their defensive coaches after the Tampa Bay Bucs got a win against Carolina. Talk to me about this Carolina team real quick, Scotty. I remember about a month ago, we all thought that Carolina was a sneaky team. They have since lost, I think, 3 in a row. You know, my thesis is still there, you know, about the shake and bake guys. Curtis Samuel last week, 6 for 88. You know, DJ Moore continuing to impress. McCaffrey's still there. And those big guys, you know, Olsen now is going to be out for the year. Funchess only gets one grab. But the Panthers are now 6-6 in that group with, like, you know, the Eagles and some other squads looking back. I mean, one game back of the Seahawks. What's going on with the Carolina Panthers recently?
Just everybody except Christian McCaffrey and the wide receivers just not playing well. Cam Newton, terrible game. You know, this team, they don't seem to know how to win. You know, you look at it from a fantasy perspective. Before this week, Cam was playing well, but the four interception game, those last two games, just they're killer. You know, it's offensively, it's you know, they were a disaster. Like Tampa Bay, actually, I think Tampa Bay, like, just they came in and played good defense, and yep. You know, they're just I can't say it's a thing of where I'm a little saying this long winded, like, but you know, they don't know how to win in the clutch. And that's what it mm-hmm. is.
Yeah. You mean about Carolina, right? Like Carolina doesn't know how
Carolina,
to win the clutch.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I think that's, yes. You know, listen, Cam Newton, similar to Jameis, is not necessarily a quarterback that we like when times are tough, you know. But I will say this, and I don't want to go too far down the path of something else, but we didn't get a chance to talk, Scott. This is now 2 weeks in a row where Jameis has not turned the ball over for Tampa Bay, is playing like within himself, and to be quite honest, has looked relatively impressive. And Tampa Bay has, you know, ironically enough, won both of those games. Do you think Jameis may be onto something? You think he's proven that Tampa Bay should retain him for next year?
It's very hard to, you know, really get a quarterback in this league. We talk about it sure. all the time, but you know what's out
the
there
skill
in the
set
draft.
Is there.
You know what's out there. What's out there in free agency? You know, you have mentioned a few guys. Like, you know, is it going to be any improvement? Sort of. So I'm not sure. Like, is there an yeah. upgrade there? But I don't think they could go anywhere with Wilson. With Winston. It's you know, they I don't think they can have any confidence that they could be a winning team with him. So yeah. I think they're in a tough spot. If I had to guess, I would say they'd move on from him.
Okay, we'll see. Also, Scotty, I want to let
a fresh start is maybe what they need.
Yeah, you know, listen, every team thinks like they could be the guy to fix somebody, right? So the merry-go-round may happen. You know, we talk about Winston. You talk about a guy like Blake Bortles. You talk about a lot of teams and quarterbacks that could be on the merry-go-round. But we'll talk about that when the season is done. We still had playoffs and championships to win here. That's why I want to let people know, Scotty, that football is not the only sport where you could, you know, win a little bit of cash and win a bit of championships. The DailyRoto.com NBA lineup optimizer is now available. That means you can use the same tools and projections that DailyRoto NFL subscribers are using to win some NBA daily contests. DailyRoto.com has produced 7 separate FanDuel and DraftKings $1 million tournament winners and millions more in cumulative prizes. Quite frankly, if you're playing DFS and you're not using the DailyRoto tools, projections, and optimizers, you are doing it wrong. You're at a competitive disadvantage. So go on over to dailyroto.com, click on the Go Premium tab, enter the promo code FANTASY, FNTSY, for a special discount and start winning today. That's dailyroto.com, click on Go Premium and use the promo code FNTSY. Scotty, we were talking about all these handcuffs and how important they are, right? Because your guy may go down. Well, we know about the Kareem Hunt situation. So Spencer Ware is now the lead back in Kansas City. They worked out a couple of guys yesterday, Scott, and they signed former Chief right back because he knows the system real well. They signed my guy, the Sharknado, Sharkhandrick West. So now it's going to be, it looks like, Spencer Ware and Sharkhandrick West. By the same logic, if you're a Spencer Ware owner, if you were a Kareem Hunt owner and now a Spencer Ware owner, do you need to pick up Sharkhandrick West just in case Ware goes down this Sunday?
No, because he came off the street and he hasn't played for 13 weeks. What kind of an impact can the guy have? You know, they're talking about a committee here. You know, with Damian Williams, you know, right. and this other Williams kid, you know, being part of it here. And it's not like if Ware goes down, they're going to suddenly go to Sharkhandrick West and he's going to become the feature back. So I know people know the name, but it'd be a waste of time to add him. And okay. when Hunt went down, everybody got excited with Ware because he had a big year a few years ago. I think people forget the following year how badly he played, not badly, but just like how mediocre he was. You know, until he got hurt, that he never followed anything up there. People were overexcited about Spencer Ware, you know, just because you go from one guy to the next. You know, Spencer Ware is just nowhere near as talented as Kareem Hunt. He's a former fullback who converted to halfback and, you know, had one good year, and, you know, that's pretty much it. You know,
but isn't
saw
that
pretty
the case
much
for
a mediocre performance from him.
Not necessarily. Isn't that the case for any handcuff? Like, they're all backups for a reason.
No, but some backups are more talented than others. And I think we saw that with the Chargers. You know, everybody's talking about Eckler, and Justin Jackson looked much better as a runner. You know, it's you know, every situation's not the same. Not everything is absolute. Some backups are just – they're better than others. It's in Atlanta, if Tevin Coleman would go down, you know, Ito Smith, you know, might be a better pickup.
Yeah, but we're telling people, for example, like, to go get Wayne Gallman if you have Saquon Barkley. But you have to acknowledge that if Saquon got hurt, of course there'd be a drop down to Wayne Gallman. I mean, he's a backup for a reason. And shouldn't you expect that with a guy like Spencer Ware also? He's a backup for a reason.
I don't look at it as he's a backup for a reason. You know, that almost sounds like, you know, that he's a mediocre guy. That's why he doesn't start. You know, in the NFL, you know, NFL teams want to have talented backups. You know, it's like they sound cliches. You know, these guys are, you know, they're athletes who make plays in practice. These guys are on a roster in the number two spot for a reason, on the flip side of what you say. Not everybody just a backup because he's just a backup. You know, we've seen handcuffs step up real, real well. It's like, you know, maybe this sounds a little extreme, but, you know, look back at it like the beginning of the season. And, you know, James Conner was a backup. And look at him now. Nick Chubb was a backup. You know, look at him now. You know, look at some of these guys where they get a chance to step up. You know, LeGarrette Blount hasn't played badly. He had a really good game against Chicago. You can't assume that the backup's not going to produce quality numbers.
Right, but that's why when we talk about Spencer Ware or Shaquandrick West, what I'm saying, I'm advocating for, yes, get the backups. It sounds like you're saying in some situations it's still not worth it. Like, I understand.
No, I'm saying the opposite of what you're making it sound more like they're a backup for a reason. It makes it sound like a negative.
But originally this started because I asked you about Shaquandrick West, who's now the backup, and you were like, no, no, no.
I don't know that Shaquandrick West is the backup, is what I'm saying. You know, he hasn't played for 13 weeks. He doesn't suddenly become the backup.
So who you think Damian Williams is the guy to own then in KC? If you're not, you know, if you don't have
probably, if anybody, like that's the guy I was. That's the guy I was looking at. People know the name West from a few years ago, but you know, when you don't play for the entire season, you don't immediately step up into a backup job. You're there for depth.
Got you. So the last story, Scott, I want to ask you about before we go to break, and then in the last segment we could talk about, listen, how you approach the waiver wire, and it may be a little bit differently with your playoffs on the line. The last story I want to get your thoughts on is, you know, the Green Bay Packers defecate the mattress on Sunday, and then Mike McCarthy gets called into the principal's office, and he no longer has a job. You know, I mean, George and I yesterday, we sort of thought that the move needed to kind of happen, but we were both on the same page that, you know, the Green Bay Packers, the story franchise that they are, Mike McCarthy does have a Super Bowl on his resume. We were a little bit surprised that it happened mid-season and kind of as a knee-jerk reaction like it did. Does, you know, we think about like the way they treated Andy Reid when he moved on, the way that they treated Tom Coughlin when he moved on, very different than firing as a knee-jerk reaction after a game. You think there's something going on there in Green Bay?
You think it was a knee-jerk reaction to fire McCarthy?
I think it was a knee-jerk reaction to fire him mid-season right after the thing. I think the prudent thing to do would have been to wait until the end of the season. They're a storied franchise. Well, this guy has earned enough respect to not get done dirty right after week 13. That would be my opinion.
Yeah. Well, one
I think
we're
it's
past
the right decision,
mid-season.
But they shouldn't have done it.
Yeah.
Right then and there.
One, we're past mid-season at this point. And secondly, if it was after a devastating loss at home and just like falling apart, not making the playoffs, I'm not surprised. You know, maybe he does deserve more respect than that, though. I see where you're coming from.
Yeah, I think it was the right decision. I just think the way it was handled could have been a little bit better. You know, like I said, look at Andy
Reid. Todd Bowles still has a job. You
know, this is true. We'll talk about it tomorrow when we come back.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day.
all major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Welcome back. Roto Experts in the Morning right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Hey, Scotty, we got a question from Jim Martell on Twitter. He asked me, who would be the backup to Gurley if Malcolm Brown goes down? I don't know if we saw, but Malcolm Brown got banged up, and they're now saying he may have surgery on his clavicle. We're talking about this, backups, handcuffs. Clearly, if Gurley would go down, you'd want a piece of that offense. Who would be the backup there if Malcolm Brown went down? Let's get that answer for our guy, and should you try to pick them up?
Well, Malcolm Brown was the guy,
right?
Obviously, but with that's another thing. Sometimes you talk about that too. It's like the backup to the backup goes down, and you got to make an adjustment. Like with the Chargers, a lot of people picking up Justin Jackson not because of an injury, but Justin Davis is the next listed guy on the depth chart.
For the Rams?
Yeah. College football free agent from last year.
And John Kelly as well, right?
Yeah.
I mean, but I
think if
far.
Either one of the if you know with the with this with this Malcolm Brown thing, it's like, can you really feel confident in using any of these guys? You don't know anything about them. They only played in like the fourth quarter in the preseason.
Yeah, but that was the same thing with Jackson a couple weeks ago, right?
No, I think Jackson came in with a lot more, a little bit more decoration.
I guess.
Like, we'd seen him during the preseason. You're talking about a college football free agent, and a six-round pick this year. I don't think between Justin Davis and John Kelly, who you would be able to use. And it might have to get played out on the field.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that makes sense. Hey, Scotty, I also want to let people know that, listen, you may or may not have reached the fantasy football playoffs, but either way, with BetDSI, you can capitalize on all the on-field action with a user-friendly mobile site, web interface, and the fastest payouts in the industry. From the upcoming college football bowl games to the next big soccer match, they got wagering options for almost any sport you can think of. You can even bet on esports, politics, and reality TV. By the way, Scott, if you want to know who's winning this upcoming season or Survivor, I got you. We'll get in early on the futures market there. Get an edge and utilize live betting at BetDSI, where you can wager virtually anytime during a contest. Use the promo code FNTSY101 when signing up and get a 100% deposit bonus match once you've opened your account. Then go to DailyRoto.com, click on Contact Us, send us your BetDSI username, and we'll give you 1 month of DailyRoto access totally free. All right, that's access to all the sports, the tools, and the optimizers. And then you know what you need to do over on BetDSI with that promo code FNTSY101 to get your 100% bonus deposit match and one free month of DailyRoto.com. That is a great idea. Scotty, usually on Tuesdays, we talk about waivers, but here's the point I want to make at this point, first of all. At this point of your season, yeah, maybe there were some injuries, right, that happened, with A.J. Green or, Greg Olsen going down, people like that. But at this point of the season, it is very, very hard, to the point you're just making, for someone to be like, quote-unquote, next man up and actually be viable for you in a win-or-go-home scenario in your playoffs. Correct me if I'm wrong, Scott, but generally speaking, and I think this is the point we've been making all morning long, but generally speaking, the next man up on your fantasy football roster, like your third running back right now that you've been having all season long or have organized for, the next man up on your fantasy team is probably better than the next man up that's created because of an injury or suspension in the real NFL. So, for example, Scott, your RB3 is probably better than, these guys we're talking about right now. The Sharkandrick Wests of the world. And I say that to mean, generally speaking, the waiver wire is probably pretty thin these days, right?
I think the waiver wire is thin. But you got to have those handcuffs. I'd rather have Jalen Samuels, though, than Josh Adams, or Adrian Peterson if James Conner were to get injured. So it's not necessarily true. you know, it's not one sweeping generalization that, you know, that who we have on our roster, because every roster is different. Every backup running back situation is different. Jalen Samuels is a great example. I think it really depends on the situation. So, you know, you have to have these handcuffs again. And, you know, Charkandrick West is, you know, he's not the next man up. He's not going to be the next man up. You have to know who that next man up is going to be. You know, talking about the Rams guys, you know, both of those guys that we mentioned, John Kelly and Justin Davis, have been inactive, you know, in recent weeks. So we don't know. But then you got something like Jalen Samuels, where if he steps up, he's going to become a real hot pickup.
Yep, absolutely. And one thing that I definitely want to mention about Jalen Samuels as well. As you know, Scott, in many formats, I know definitely on Yahoo, maybe in others, Jalen Samuels has tight end eligibility. Okay?
Yes.
So I want to ask you, let's say you had Greg Olsen, right? Let's say you had Greg Olsen and Jack Doyle recently, and you just lost all your tight ends. Now, while he is the number two running back for the Pittsburgh Steelers, how do you feel about putting Jalen Samuels in your tight end spot, even as the number two back, even as the handcuff, even as the change of pace guy?
If Jalen,
I mean, because we don't know about Connor. We don't know about Connor. There's an opportunity where Samuels is really the starter, and then you'd love to put him in the tight end spot. But what about if Connor does play, but they're going to give him, you know, like limited reps or a snap count? And it's obvious that Samuels will be kind of the light side of a timeshare. What about putting him in your tight end spot then?
I don't think so. We really haven't seen any production from him whatsoever, except for the one time Connor went out.
Okay.
Earlier
and
in the year.
But listen, we're hearing a high ankle sprain for Connor, right? Potentially. We don't know definitively, but that, you know, that could mean he is out. What if he is out?
Can you imagine in a league like that? I know exactly where you go with this.
Yeah.
If you could play Jalen Samuels as a starting running back in
my tight end spot, and I still have
that'd be one of the craziest
things
in fantasy football all time. Like,
imagine
back when you could play Marcus Colston as a tight end.
Imagine me going into my playoffs with, I don't know, Ezekiel Elliott and Joe Mixon are my starting running backs, right? I'm flexing.
I have a league like that.
Flexing Nick Chubb, let's say, and I'm putting Jalen Samuels, who's now a RB1 for a strong offense, in as my tight end. That's going to happen, Scott, in leagues around the country.
All of a sudden, he would become the number four tight end.
Tight end
or
three,
like that.
Basically.
Because
right.
We've never seen, even with the Colston situation,
yeah,
you've never seen it. You've never seen a tight end get that many sort of touches.
So let me ask you.
It would be ridiculous. So I have a league like that.
Right.
Where I actually have these are my running backs. I have Lindsay.
Yep.
I have Connor.
Yep.
I have Mixon. And I have Chubb. But
well,
then
Connor,
I got Drew Smith
Samuels
and Chris Holden at tight end.
But yes, right. You put Samuels in at tight end.
But then I could play all four of them.
Absolutely. Well, you wouldn't play Connor necessarily because he's tied.
No, I'm
to
saying
Samuels,
I'm saying if
you could,
if
yeah,
Connor was out, I could play all four of them.
That's right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's very, very interesting. Scotty, I have a homework assignment for you. I think you got to rank Jalen Samuels in your tight end ranks.
Yes, Mr. Martinez.
I think you have to rank Jalen Samuels in your tight end ranks this week. I really do. People are going to have that decision to make. They really are.
Yep.
Like, if they have Jalen Samuels, and we'll see what happens with Connor, they are literally going to have the decision of, like, do I start Jalen Samuels at tight end, or do I start, Evan Ingram, or do I start, you know, whoever it is? And I think you really have to put him in your ranks. But I digress, because that's going to be a very interesting homework assignment.
And you know,
and
I'm playing against a team
that
in the playoffs.
Yep.
Remember I told you I'd never look at the opposing team's roster?
Ah, but you are right now.
That's during the regular season.
Okay.
In the playoffs, I do, because in waivers, I want to block somebody.
You got to play defense,
so in
right?
In one of my leagues, I have a higher waiver priority than my opponent, and he has Melvin Gordon and James Conner as his running backs.
Wow.
So it's more likely that Gordon returns this week. So my top waiver claim is going to be Jalen Samuels in that week. In that
absolutely.
League.
Very, very interesting. Let's talk about some quarterbacks real quick. Hey, Scotty. Josh Allen is 5% owned. Jameis Winston is 58% owned. I'm going to tell you right now, Scotty, I'd rather have either one of them than, say Matthew Stafford moving forward. Josh Allen, man, 150, I think 130 rushing yards. Why are we not talking about him the same as Lamar Jackson? I really think Josh Allen, with his rushing, offers a solid floor. And if you're in, say, a super flex league, I would rather Josh Allen than Matthew Stafford right now.
Yeah, well, certainly. Like, I'd rather have Ryan Tannehill, I think, than Matthew Stafford right now.
I'm just saying, so, there's people right now going into a playoff matchup with Stafford as their QB2. Josh Allen is only 5% owned. I know it sounds silly, but Josh Allen and that rushing potential is real. This kid is athletic, and this kid is running for Buffalo.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, you know, if you're talking about a two-quarterback league, you know, he might have went off the waiver wire the previous week after that fine rushing performance.
Sure.
But now it's even more confirmed. It'll still be a free agent in a lot of leagues. All of a sudden, Josh Allen
owned.
Is showing why the Bills drafted him, why he has a unique skill set, you know, really good intangibles. And with LeSean McCoy not doing anything in the running game, they need him to run.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me ask you something, because Greg Olsen went down, right? And I know, Scotty, there was a point in the year early on, before we saw kind of how North Turner was doing with Cam Newton, there was a point in time earlier in the year where you were high on Ian Thomas as a rookie tight end in Carolina.
Yeah.
How do you feel about Ian Thomas? Like, for example, should I try and grab Ian Thomas or should I try and grab Jalen Samuels, Scott?
I would go with Samuels.
Okay.
Although Thomas, you know, when he got a chance to step up, you know, did produce some decent numbers. And it's desolate at tight end, you know, if you're trying to go to Juju Smith or somebody like that.
Right.
You know, Ian Thomas might actually have a little bit more upside than Juju Smith, who's touching on a bust.
All right. Fair enough. And by the way, Scotty, we have breaking news right now. We have breaking news right now in the college football universe. All right. That we need to report here. The Ohio State Buckeyes are going to be in the Rose Bowl. After that, their head coach, Urban Meyer, is retiring as the head coach of Ohio State. It sounds like offensive coordinator Ryan Day will take over as the Buckeyes coach right after the Rose Bowl. Urban Meyer, you know, a lot of controversy this year, some health issues as well, but it looks like Urban Meyer is retiring as Ohio State head coach. The Buckeyes will have a new head coach next year after the Rose Bowl, Scott.
Yeah, I think you can speak to that more than I do.
Problem. Fair enough. That's the thing. There was a lot of controversy. Remember, he was suspended for the first couple of games this season. He left Florida because of health issues, was at ESPN for a while, decided to come back. There were camera shots of him in that game against Michigan where it looked like, you know, the stress was kind of coming back. I don't know if this is as relates more to the controversy, the stress, the health issues, or him just moving on. But what we can say right now, breaking news here this morning into the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, Urban Meyer is retiring as the Buckeyes head coach following their Rose Bowl date on January 1st, I believe, they play the Rose Bowl. So it'll be offensive coordinator Ryan Day, who was the interim head coach for the first couple of games this season, taking over as the Buckeyes head coach. We wanted to make sure everybody had that news before they, you know, fill out their college bowl predictions with their confidence bets and stuff like that. You're going to start getting those kinds of pool invites for your confidence picks, like, and all of your bowl games, which will be starting next week after Army Navy. So just wanted to mention that. Scotty, real quick, at the wide receiver position for waivers. Listen, I've been on Curtis Samuel for a while. He's 18% owned. Cortland Sutton, who finally had a touchdown yet last week, 49% owned. Dante Pettis in San Francisco is only 4% owned. The man has had 14 targets over the last two games, and Carson and Goodwin are banged up. If you need some help, let's say you lost definitively A.J. Green, you know, where are you going potentially on the waiver wire?
I think I got to be careful here because you look at Dante Pettis, he had that big 75-yard catch and run, which I saw live. But, you know, as we've seen all year, these rookies are inconsistent. But, look, you know, some fantasy teams, especially in competitive leagues like ours, you know, we do have holes. You know, I do have a hole in, you know, number three wide receiver and two of my best teams. So, I think you got to pick some of these guys up and considering streaming them. Right now, it's a tough decision. Do you want to go Dante Pettis or Larry Fitzgerald? I think you go Larry Fitzgerald because you expect more volume, but you don't feel fully confident about it.
But you got to figure Fitzgerald is probably owned. I'm looking at guys that are 50% owned or below, and I see.
No,
Curtis
what I'm
Samuel
saying is, I wasn't saying to pick up Larry Fitzgerald or Dante Pettis. I'm saying if you pick up Dante Pettis, you know, you could stream him, and then maybe you have a tough decision between him and Larry Fitzgerald,
who's like on your roster as your wide receiver 3-4.
Right, right.
I see. Are there? Would you? So in that situation, what about these are the guys I'm thinking of? What about Curtis Samuel, who's starting to show up for the Carolina Panthers in the last couple of games and fits like what I'm saying in terms of the way Carolina's trying to get the ball out of Cam's hands? Or what about Cortland Sutton, for example, in Denver? Might he be getting more opportunity? Crazy that I say it now that Jeff Heirman is on IR. You know, are there more targets to go around for these kind of guys?
Heirman's been on IR for 3 weeks now.
I'm just saying. You think
that's the thing.
Got a touchdown.
That's the
last
thing
week.
With all three of these rookies. You know,
are there others that are on your mind though?
Not really. You know, that's really out there. It's like you're talking about three rookies, and just about every rookie we've seen has been very, very inconsistent. It seems like they follow up a good game with a bad one, or a good game with then two mediocre ones. So you can't trust him. Yes, you can pick him up if you have a hole, because I got like Calvin Ridley's or Larry Fitzgerald in two leagues, and I'm going to have to stream them. But, you know, they're very, very unpredictable. So they make you feel uncomfortable. But, you know, I would try to ride with the Curtis Samuel, you know, if I have a hole there. Because, but then again, we saw from DJ Moore, you know, he had two really good weeks. Then he had a quiet week. You don't know where the ball's going in any given week. But heck, you know, that's the unpredictability of fantasy football. So I would say take a chance probably on Samuel first, probably Sutton second, and, you know, then Pettis probably third.
I got you. As I'm looking at the most heavily added guys, there are two players who are on the same team and are both around 50%. And I got a sneaky feeling you'd put both of these guys above either Samuel or Sutton. And I'm talking about two wide receivers of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. If you could, would you rather have Humphreys and or Godwin ahead of those guys? Are they worth a check first? They're both Humphreys.
Oh, yeah. Well,
Humphreys I have at 51% owned, which is why I didn't mention him at the very beginning, because it's 51 and I generally look at 50 or lower. And Godwin is 46% owned. You'd rather those guys?
I don't know with Godwin, because he's very inconsistent. If Mike Evans jumps back into the mix in any given week, you know, Godwin can be out of it. With Humphreys, he's definitely stepped up as that team's you know, number two wide receiver.
Yeah.
And when you look at the 51% owned, I think it tells you that there's a lot of teams that are out of the playoffs. And
not managing.
At 51% owned, there's a lot of teams not managing, so he's owned in most leagues.
Yeah, and with Godwin, though, don't you think he kind of takes the boom or bust role of DeSean Jackson as the deep threat, so maybe a good home run swing if you need it?
Who's that, Godwin?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he averaged 17.1 yards per catch last year.
Jackson's been out with a hand injury.
Yeah, but I think Godwin's more of a regular touchdown threat. I don't think he's the same type of player as DeSean Jackson. I think he has more of a floor.
All right, fair enough. Listen, we got Fantasy Sports Today up next. It's great to have you back, Scotty. Tomorrow we'll spend 2 hours breaking down everything we expect for Week 14. Have a great rest of your day as you get back into the groove, Scotty. Great to have you back on Roto Experts in the Morning.
Great to be back with you.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.